Good morning, brothers and sisters. It just occurred to me while reading the Holy Gospel this morning that if Jesus had touched the man in this way and even spat while doing it during COVID season, he would have been arrested. But obviously our Lord does not follow trends of the age. He is the Word of Life. He's the Savior of the world. And so here in this gospel story, we have him opening the ears of this deaf man and fixing his speech impediment. He's obviously using his divine power. He's God. He can do this. But he does it in a very human way by touching with spittle. I mean, it's really fascinating how Jesus does this. He could have just done it with a word of command, but he wants to get in there and touch him and heal him with contact. And he only gives one command to this man, to the rest of the people who witnessed this great miracle. Don't tell anyone. That's it. That's it. That's all Jesus asks. Obviously, he's been preaching the good news of the kingdom, the gospel message to them. He performs this miracle, and then he says, just don't talk about this with other people. And what do? The first thing is they disobey him and go and tell everybody. And Jesus is not using reverse psychology here. It's not like, how do I get them to really spread this message? I know, I'll tell them not to. Sometimes you have to use that with sinners, but Jesus doesn't work this way. Jesus truly didn't want them to spread this message. And he had his reasons, and that's for another homily. But the point is, after hearing his words and seeing his power, they don't obey him. They don't obey him. What was the point of everything he just did if they don't truly believe in him? He is clearly fulfilling the prophecy that we heard in our first reading from Isaiah. The promised Messiah would come, and he would open the ears of the deaf and the tongue of the mute. Our Lord is physically doing this. He is the promised one, and yet we don't listen to him. Why? Because we're so convinced everybody would want to know about this great miracle. So we just don't listen. But if we consider the real reason why Jesus performed any physical miracles at all, it's always for a deeper spiritual reason. Always. If it didn't benefit people spiritually, he would never have performed a single healing miracle at all. He would never have multiplied the loaves and the fishes if he wasn't trying to point to the Holy Eucharist. Every time God acts against the laws of nature that he himself created, it has to bear good spiritual fruit. That's the reason he does it. And so what was the point of this miracle, if not just to fix a problem in this guy's life? It was to open the ears of the mind of this man and those around him, so that they could hear the truth that Jesus spoke. It was to open the tongues of these people to not just be able to speak at all, but to speak the truth that they had first heard and received. That's the point of this miracle. And yet they didn't listen to our Lord. They didn't listen to his words, and they did not put them into practice. So in essence, their ears were still deaf and their tongues still mute. And this can happen to anyone, certainly to any one of us, and so we have to be on guard against this in our lives. So this openness to the Word of God, to the truth as it's revealed to us, that's why our Lord gives us grace. That's why he forgives us of our sins. And this message, this revelation that's been handed on to us, it's come down to us through the ages from the church herself. That's how we know these things. Otherwise, we'd read these passages like anyone, or even a Christian who believes but doesn't have the fullness of the faith in the Catholic Church, and we'll interpret it in whatever way makes sense to us. I don't interpret the word of God. The church does. She instructs me. I have learned from her. And I hand on to you, which is my responsibility, her teaching, her explanations. That's my first responsibility as your pastor, to teach you the faith. It's the greatest obligation that Christ gave to me through the apostles, through my bishop. You might think, well, aren't baptisms more important than preaching, or the Eucharist, or confessions, or any of the sacraments? Aren't those more important than teaching the faith? No, not at all. Teaching is the primary obligation of every priest. Everything else, even the sacraments, are secondary. Why is this true? Because if you do not understand what you are receiving, then you won't be receiving what the Lord wants to give you. If you had not been carefully instructed in the real presence of Jesus or in the true power of confession, would you take advantage? Would be open to all of the hidden graces that are available to you in these holy sacraments? Not unless you had first learned and then believed in what you had learned. So this obligation that I have to teach you, again, is paramount. So that when you approach the great gifts of Christ in the sacraments, you can receive everything he wants and conform your life to that. Your mind can truly be opened and you can believe. This obligation doesn't stop with me, however. Every parent has this same responsibility and obligation in their own home towards their children. I had a wedding yesterday. It went very beautifully, but during the ceremony, I was reminded of a question that all of you were asked on the day of your wedding. There are three questions that the minister asks the couple before they make their vows. The third question is always this, and this is an English translation. Are you prepared to accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and his church? And if you don't answer yes, I don't let you get married. That's how serious it is. I actually prefer the Spanish translation a little better because instead of just saying bring them up, it's very precise. It says, if you must educate them according to the law of Christ and his church. That's what it means to bring someone up, to educate, to instruct, to teach, to form. So each one of you couples made this promise on the day you wed. This is before you were even allowed to get married. You have kids, you have to teach them the faith, raise them up in the faith. You promised God you would do this. That's why it's actually your primary responsibility as a parent with children to hand on to them the faith that you yourself have received. You see, it's my primary responsibility to hand on to you adults the faith. But my job is not to teach your children, to raise them in the faith. That's your job. When I'm judged, it'll be according to how well I instructed the adults in the parish. When you're judged, how well you raised your children in the faith. In the Code of Canon Law, the laws that govern us in the church, all taken ultimately from the law and teachings of Christ, there is an instruction under the section in regards to holy baptism that baptism cannot be given to a child or an infant unless there is a reasonable hope that they will be raised actively in the Catholic faith. That's the law. Now, it doesn't mean I can know for certain that you parents are going to raise your kids in the Catholic faith, because that's not possible. You don't even know for certain. But if I don't have a reasonable hope that you're going to raise that child in the faith, I cannot baptize. I'm not allowed. And yet baptism is the most important of sacraments because it's the first. And it's through baptism you're made a child of God and able to approach the rest of the sacraments and life of the church. That same section also points out that the sacraments of Holy Communion and Confirmation are so intimately tied to baptism because they are all the sacraments of initiation. And if it's true with baptism that if I can't give you that sacrament without a reasonable hope that you're going to be raised actively practicing your faith, then do you think I can give you Holy Communion or Confirmation without that same reasonable hope? And this is my obligation as your pastor, again, not to hand on to you my beliefs or preferences or teachings, but those of the church that come from Christ himself. So when I enforce these laws, and I must, I have to make a judgment call for each person that approaches when they want one of their children to receive any sacrament. I have to make the decision. Is there a reasonable hope that they are being raised actively in the faith? Not passively, oh yeah, we're Catholic, we go to church sometimes. No, that's passive. Active. Faithfully, to the best of their ability, living their faith. And so what does that look like, practically speaking? Okay? Going to Mass every Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation. There are obviously times you're sick, exceptions to the rule, but generally that's the rule. Going to confession regularly, which the saints typically recommend once a month. Unless you have mortal sin, you go more frequently. Praying daily as a family. Daily. Not, you know, yeah, we pray once or twice during the week. No. Daily as a family. That's what a Catholic does. That's just the bare minimum right there. That's scraping the bottom of the Catholic barrel. That's okay. That's a good start. You do that, you'll be doing most of the things you need to do to raise your children actively in the faith. And so when you stand before the judgment seat of God, you'll say, Lord, I'm sure I didn't do a perfect job, but I did my best. Now here at St. Dorothy's, because of COVID in previous years, I stopped teaching faith formation here, just like the schools themselves shut down, and we started an at-home program in order to catechize your children in the faith. And I will tell you, as bad as all the problems that come from COVID and the lockdowns were, I was grateful for this opportunity because it had been my intention since before I was a pastor for many years now to go to an at-home catechetical program. I have been thinking about this for years and years and years. But I knew if I just tried to force that on you as a parish, there would be such rebellion. I'd lose most of you, you know? Life's hard enough and difficult enough as it is. Now we got to teach our own children the faith at home, on top of everything else we have to do. I mean, most of you parents who had to start teaching your children regular school during COVID lockdown lost your mind, right? You're pulling out your hair, throwing temper tantrums, right? That's hard. That's a lot of extra work on top of everything you already have to do. And you don't even get a break from your kids, right? They're there all the time with you. Then placing on top of you that other responsibility to teach your children the faith. But I think most of you, and in fact all of you, would have to admit that you want your children to be educated. So even if the schools aren't going to do it, you're going to do your best, whether it's good or not, you're going to do your best at home. Because you want your children to have a happy life. And there are certain things that you want to teach them to help them succeed in life. You know, reading, writing, arithmetic, all of those things. But in comparison to the faith, anything else they could ever learn in their life is meaningless. Absolutely meaningless. In comparison to the faith that you are obliged to teach them. Not me, you. You are obliged to teach. And why is this? Why is the teaching and practice of the faith of such importance? It's because when they die, and all of us will, when God judges them, he's not going to ask them, you know, what's the square root of 42? Or name the capital of Wisconsin? Or what happened in 1692? None of these questions will be relevant and won't affect the outcome of their eternal destination. He'll ask them, how well did you love me and your neighbor? Did you follow all of my commandments? Whoa, 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 which commandments, Lord? Well, there were 10 of them. What, 10? I only remember like 2 or 3. What do you mean you remember 2 or 3? I gave your parents 10. They never told me about 10, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You can't judge me on those other 7. Sorry, that's not gonna fly. The only thing our Lord cares about on the day of judgment is our relationship with him and how well we followed his commandments. That's it. It doesn't mean math and science and these other subjects aren't helpful for you in this life, but if all you're concerned about is this life, you're wasting your time in this pew on Sunday morning. So each day, the greatest gift you can impart to your children is the faith. Even though it's not my responsibility to impart the faith to your children, I want to do everything I can to help you. That's why we have the program that we do. So we help you get the resources to help teach your children the faith at home. I teach classes once a month to the parents themselves to make sure they understand the material so you don't feel like you're on your own trying to do it. We've got other parish catechists who you can call, seek advice or direction from. So you're not alone, but it is work. It's hard work. But it's the greatest thing you can do for any of your children. And I need to know, as your pastor, that you're doing that job at least to the best of your ability if you come to me and you want your children to receive the sacraments. Because I'm the one who has to make the judgment call. Are they being raised actively in the faith or not? And if not, my answer has to be, I'm sorry, you cannot receive the sacrament at this time. I'm not allowed to refuse you the sacrament, period. That's not permitted. I can't say, no, you can never be baptized or confirmed or receive communion, but I can say, you're not ready right now. In fact, Bishop Jugis has made it a rule in the Diocese of Charlotte that 2 years of formation are required to receive any sacrament. 2 years of formation. That's 365 days times 2. I don't know what that is. Again, math. I don't need to know math. I'm here for theology. So. So when you come to me, and I don't know if you've been educating your children in the faith for 2 years, even if you've been doing it at home, how can I say that they're ready? And you may say, oh, Father, they're ready. I know they are. Okay, okay. There's an old expression, trust, but verify. So I test them. I test them to see how well they are being taught the faith. That's also why we at St. Dorothy's have certain requirements. We need to see that you and your children are registered parishioners and registered for the faith formation program, even though you're doing it at home. That way we can keep up with your progress and help you along the way. All of this in the end for the good of your children. But if you think about it, parents, not just because of the vow that you made, the promise you made on the day of your wedding, but because of the love for your children, you want to give them the best, the greatest of goods. And there's nothing greater that you can impart to them. Now, for those parents whose children are already out of the house, no longer under your teaching authority, you may look back and say, you know, I didn't do a good job. What do I do now, Father? Is there any hope? What if some of your children have left the faith, stopped practicing? Well, even if you did a perfect job of educating your children in the faith, it doesn't mean that they're going to remain Catholic. They have a free will. They can choose. So you can't necessarily blame yourself. But that doesn't mean you're also off the hook. You're still their parent. And in the end, God will judge us on how well we fulfilled our obligations. But what I can always do for my children, regardless of whether they're living the faith I imparted to them or not, is I can pray for them, for their conversion or their reversion, and I can sacrifice. Prayer and sacrifice always merit a tremendous amount of grace that God can then bestow upon your children and help bring them back. And what more could the Lord ask of you? I'm reminded of something my mother taught me. I've shared this with you before a few years back. But she often worried that she didn't do a good enough job raising us in the faith. There's always weaknesses and failings in every parent's life. And when she saw some of my siblings leave the church, at least temporarily, thank God they've all come back, she was very concerned. But in one of the approved apparitions of Our Lady, the Blessed Mother said to the child receiving the apparition to console parents that as long as you do your best to raise them in the faith, not perfectly, but just do your best, if they leave, the Blessed Mother said that I will bring them back. That has to be a great consolation. Our Lady says, don't worry, I'll take care of them. You just do your best. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.